From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Alaska has identified its first case of the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. Anchorage health officials announced the case in a statement late this afternoon. The city health department says the person is an Anchorage resident who recently tested positive in the city following international travel in November. The case was identified today through genomic sequencing at the Alaska State Public Health Laboratory. Alaska joins at least 30 other states to have confirmed cases of the new variant. In local pandemic news, vaccinated Juneau residents are no longer required to wear masks indoors, though it's still recommended. Juneau Emergency Operations Center dropped the city's COVID-19 alert level to moderate today. It cited a drop in COVID-19 cases and increased hospital capacity as reasons for the change. Private businesses can still require masks regardless of vaccination status, and masks are still required in all city buildings as well as on the bus. 77% of Juneau residents 5 and up are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Juneau officials also reported 24 new COVID-19 cases since Saturday. Two people are in Bartlett Regional Hospital with COVID-19. 16 and 17-year-olds are now also eligible for COVID-19 vaccine booster shots, in addition to adults. As Congress hurtles toward Christmas break, Alaska's U.S. senators are anchoring different ends of the Republican spectrum. They often do. Sometimes the difference is a matter of style. Sometimes it's substance. And last week, as Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports, it was both.
Senator Dan Sullivan took a stand Wednesday against vaccine mandates. At a Senate press conference, he spoke in favor of overturning President Biden's mandate for private companies. Sullivan says when the pandemic began, Washington was pulling together to keep Americans employed.
This president has taken a sledgehammer to that principle. And it's remarkable, because what he is now saying is, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to require employers to fire your employees. That is a 180-degree turn from where we all were as a Congress in the previous administration.
The Republican resolution to overturn the vaccine mandate cleared the Senate with the help of two Democrats.
Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? If not, the yeas are 52, the nays are 48. The joint resolution is passed.
It was a symbolic move. The House isn't likely to take it up. And even if it did pass the House, President Biden would surely veto it. But symbols mean something. All Senate Republicans co-sponsored and voted to overturn the mandate, including Senator Lisa Murkowski. She chose not to attend the press conference. Both Alaska senators have objected to President Biden's orders limiting or delaying oil and gas production in Alaska. But Sullivan took to the Senate floor Wednesday night to denounce them in an unusually long and fiery speech. He ended up spending much of his time focused on a senator who rarely draws anyone's ire, Democrat Martin Heinrich of New Mexico. Heinrich got under Sullivan's skin for opposing drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. For Sullivan, it was personal.
The senior senator from New Mexico led letters to all the top banks in America and all the top insurance and financial institutions in America and didn't just say don't invest in Anwar, said, quote, don't invest in any oil and gas development project in the Arctic. What is that? The Arctic of America. That's my state.
One of the significant yet under-the-radar votes the Senate took this week was a one-time rule change so that Democrats can raise the debt limit by a simple majority vote. Senator Murkowski voted yes on the procedural step. It ends the possibility of a Republican filibuster to protest Biden's economic agenda.
Why did you vote yes, Senator Murkowski?
Because it was the right thing to do.
It's kind of hard to hear with all the noise in the Capitol hallway, but Murkowski cited the tension with Russia over Ukraine and told reporters the last thing the world needs is anyone thinking Congress won't back the full faith and credit in the United States.
Do you worry this will be used against you when you're reelect?
You know what? I have to do the right thing every single day. I don't think about implications for reelect.
She was one of 14 Republicans who helped take the rule change over the procedural hurdle Thursday. Sullivan voted no. According to a scoreboard maintained by ProPublica, Sullivan has voted against his party 13% of the time this year. Murkowski has strayed from the Republican line more than three times as often. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
A day trip to Yakutat turned into a three-night stay for one Juneau resident because of a weather station malfunction preventing planes from taking off. As KTOO's Lindsay Brolini reports, it's a recurring problem for the community that, for the most of the year, is only connected through air travel.
Juneau resident Norton Gregory was going to Yakutat on a day trip for work on December 1st. The Alaska Airlines jet landed that evening, but when the jet took off later, only crew members were on board. That's because a piece of equipment wasn't working, and airlines can't take off in Yakutat with passengers on the plane without it. Federal Aviation Administration regulations require airlines to have information like wind speed, direction, temperature, and cloud coverage in order to take off or land. Airlines can get this information from human weather observers or automated weather systems. Yakutat once had a weather observer, but hasn't had one in a long time. So airlines flying into the community have to rely on the automated weather system called an Automated Surface Observing System, or ASOS. Because of FAA regulation, the airline can't take off without it, even if the weather looks good. That left Gregory stranded in the remote community known, among other things, for its surfing.
You know, I was thinking that I could probably go get a surfboard from Icy Wave Surf Shop and give that a go. but yeah, I think you're kind of just, you're at their will. You're at the will of the airlines when something like this happens.
The only other option for Gregory to get home besides waiting for ASOS to be fixed was to charter a flight with Alaska Seaplanes. And it comes with a hefty price tag, about $5,000 for the charter from Juneau to Yakutat and back. It wasn't a completely negative experience for Gregory. During his three extra days, he got to see some friends he hadn't seen in a while, meet the village dogs, and see a Yakutat winter sunrise.
You know, it's a beautiful place to be stranded.
Gregory said he was lucky he didn't have any pressing commitments, but said others may have needed to make flight connections or get to doctor's appointments in other communities.
You know, it's just life in the village, I think, for these folks. I think they might be a little more accustomed to it than I. But, you know, I don't think it's something that we should be accustomed to. I think that these folks deserve regular air service.
The town's mayor, Cindy Bremner, says this has been a problem for more than 2 years now, but this was the longest outage Yakutat has had. It's created a lot of problems for residents trying to travel outside of the community. People were stranded in Anchorage, Juneau, and Seattle. With an extra week added onto their travel, expenses can rise quickly. And it isn't just a problem about residents wanting to be able to travel in and out of the community.
We rely on the airline for everything from our groceries to going to see the doctor to, unfortunately, during this last outage, we had a couple of deaths in our community, and that's also how they get transported to the medical examiner's office. And that was unable to happen for a few days.
One resident ended up calling a charter for the deceased because they weren't sure if the problem would be fixed in time. When the same problem happened in October, some residents were traveling to a funeral. They and the deceased person were stuck in Anchorage until ASOS was fixed. Bremner wants to find a permanent solution to this problem because the community relies on air travel for almost everything. They can't use a ferry as a backup option like some other Southeast communities can.
We don't get regular ferry service in the winter and fairly sporadic even in the summer. So it doesn't really matter whether it's summer or winter. We still need this fix so we can get our airline in here daily.
Chartering a plane is expensive and a lot of people can't afford it. But in emergencies, sometimes people have to shoulder that cost.
There was a gentleman in that had to get out for his dialysis, and that's not something you can just put off if you want to live.
Bremner hopes that with the community of Yakutat, Alaska Airlines, and the National Weather Service working together, they can come up with a permanent solution. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
Over the weekend, that weather reporting equipment failed again, just days after it had been fixed. It caused another flight to be canceled, though by Saturday evening, Alaska Airlines flight trackers show that flights were able to land in Yakutat Airport again. During the Alaska Federation of Natives convention this year, speakers on an American Cancer Society panel all had a unified call to action: get screened for cancer. The panel was prompted by a report released by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium this year, which found that 1 in 5 Alaska Native people die from cancer. Jaylene Kukesh is a member of the American Cancer Society Alaska Advisory Board. Her dad was former senator and Alaska Native leader Albert Kukesh, who died from cancer early this summer.
I joined this less than a year ago because my dad was in the middle of battling cancer. And I had two other uncles and other family members who succumbed to cancer. Little did I know that my dad would pass within my first year of serving in this capacity.
She says that her dad's cancer was curable if caught early on, and that losing him made her even more dedicated to cancer education and prevention. Eric Fox lost his mom to cancer. She was diagnosed with colorectal cancer in 2015. He remembered taking his mom to get treated for cancer and seeing a lot of elders there, just like his mom. He says that his mom's generation is resilient, but that sometimes there's also a sense of denial about needing help. Fox says that people need to ask their families and their elders about being screened because it could save their lives, even if it's an awkward conversation. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, December 13th, 2021. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.